Verse 38, how does Pilate answer back to him? What is truth? Exactly. What kind of tone do you think Pilate asked that question in? Do you think he was asking honestly? Right, he was probably asking sarcastically. Why do you think he was asking, or condescending? Why do you think he was asking this sarcastically? The Pilate's in a real pickle, as we just discussed, or a conundrum, as some people would say. Why do you think Jesus or Pilate even asked this? Yes, ma'am. Right.
And by saying, you know, well, what's your truth, what's my truth,
right,
be different or subjective,
right,
then he's out of it and he doesn't have any fault in anything.
Exactly. That, I think that's exactly right. When you look at the world that the Romans lived in, this was a time of an intellectual renaissance, especially in certain areas around that. Jerusalem was part of that. But there was this kind of postmodern subjective analysis of what truth was. It was, you have your truth, I have my truth. And the questions that Pilate asked Jesus throughout the course of this discussion, when he asked him, are you a king? If Jesus were to answer yes, well, then there he's got it. There he's got his confession that he was an insurrectionist, that he was rebellion, and he would have his reason for killing him. That would be more or less just him signing his death warrant. But when Jesus comes back with it and says, well, my kingdom's not of this world, but those who hear my voice hear the truth, that's when he asks the question, well, what is truth? What is it that you are a king of? You say that you're a king. They say that you're a king. You say that you have followers. They say you have followers. They say you do all these things. What is it that you are, what truth is it that you are representing? In other words, and I think in large part, what makes you different than everybody else? What makes you different from all the other insurrectionists, all the other people that have claimed to have the truth, led a bunch of followers in some kind of rebellion? What separates you from all them? Now, where Pilate should have kept going in this instance, where he stopped in John chapter 18 and verse 38, where he stopped was just asking the question, what is truth, and then delivering him, at least as far as we know, back out into the crowd. If Pilate had investigated further, what are the types of things that you think Jesus would have said back to him? Because everyone who hears my voice hears the truth. And Pilate asked, what is truth? If that conversation had continued, what kind of things do you think Jesus would have said? Because that was a golden opportunity right then and there to ask the Messiah, the Son of God, what truth is. What kind of things do you think Jesus would have said? I mean, there's not really a right or wrong answer, I guess. I'm just more asking for opinions. Yes, sir.
He said that God's word is truth. Mm-hmm. And also, he said, I am the way, the truth.
Right. Right. I think both of those are exactly right. Thy word is truth. And then also the same thing, I am the way, the truth, and the life, something he repeated in John chapter 14 and verse 6. You have, I think, a lot of that. Probably Jesus would have repeated some of the things he'd already said. The seven I ams of Jesus, I am the door, I am the light, I'm the Lamb of God, or I'm the manna from heaven, those types of things. I don't know if that last one was an I am, technically, but I use it as one. What other types of things do you think Jesus would have said?
Come unto me, all ye that labor, I'll give you rest.
Okay, so Matthew 11, chapter and verse 28, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Well, what kind of rest do you talk about, Jesus? And so that, you're right, that conversation would have continued.
Spiritual
rest, something that Pilate probably didn't know a whole lot about, but you're right. Yes, ma'am. Right. Ask anybody that's listened to me, ask anybody that's seen my miracles, ask them what they think truth is. We live in a time period exactly the same way they did, and really nothing's changed in the 2,000 years since then. We like to think that it was much more blunt and much more definite in the time period in between. Mankind's always been the same. They're always wondering, what is truth? What's truth all about? What's your truth? What's my truth? And so Jesus asked this question, or Pilate asked this question, I think that all of us would have. What is truth? What separates you from everybody else? Pilate didn't continue down that train, but that's something that Pilate should have done, and that's where I think Pilate made his biggest mistake. He didn't continue, at least as far as we know, this conversation. The question of what is truth, though, I think it encompasses a lot of things, and this is how I want to end, because we're only 7 minutes away from the end of this class. But the way that I want to end this is kind of defining what truth must be, and if you have your truth, I have my truth, I don't believe that truth is subjective by any means. But if we're going to have this subjective postmodern viewpoint of what truth is, according to the scriptures, it must be contained within a few, I think, definite areas. First and foremost, the truth must be taken as a whole. Psalm 119 has a very interesting story about, or an interesting verse about truth when it says, thy word is truth. When Peter says in 2 Peter, the first chapter, you have given us all things according to life and godliness, what are those people testifying about the truth? At least in part. When Jude says in Jude 2 through 4 that word has been, or salvation has once for all been handed down for the saints. What are they testifying about the truth?
The final answer in need of man is what it was about.
Right, it's the final answer to the need of man, exactly. Think about especially that verse in Psalm 119 when it says the sum of thy word is truth. What is he saying about truth?
He's the source.
Okay, that he's the source, that's certainly true. That is also true.
He is God and God cannot lie.
Okay, that he's God and God cannot lie. I think taking it a step further, the fact that you have to take all of his truth, and that's something that the world just glazes right over. The world will say to themselves, I'll take a little bit of truth here, I'll take a little bit of God's truth here, but I want to take all of it. And I think denominationalists have a real problem with this. They'll say, well, and the Jesus Seminar and all these people that are claiming today that they'll take part of the teachings of Jesus, but they won't take his divinity. Or they'll say, I'll take some of his miracles, but I won't accept the resurrection of Jesus. I heard somebody say the other day to me, they say, well, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, but I don't believe that he's the only way to heaven. That's nothing more than taking 99.9% of the truth and leaving the last 0.1% of it out of there. If we're going to take Jesus, if we're going to take the Bible as truth, we have to take every part of it. Now, within our circles, none of us, at least, and I don't know, this is my second day here, if you count 3 years ago when I was here visiting, what I call is Papu, y'all call Lewis. But if, when we don't have really an issue with things like baptism. We don't really have an issue with things like musical instruments. At least I can't see that y'all have a problem with musical instruments. What do we generally have problems with? And in this instance, we're not that far off from what Pilate can be. What do we usually have issues with?
Us as Christians.
Yeah, us as Christians. Yes, ma'am.
Peer pressure.
Okay, we have an issue with peer pressure.